One of the things that seems to be lost in this generation is that the Lord rewards us for whatever we do. We're living in a time when everybody gets a trophy. Isn't that nice? Well, what that means is a trophy doesn't mean anything. You know, when I graduated from high school, I remember it was in one of those weird times when there's been a lot of this over the years, but it was kind of a weird time, at least at my high school. It was this time where it didn't matter what you did, everybody passed. And so everybody graduated. And I remember I absolutely could not care any less about walking across the stage and getting a diploma. The only reason I did it was for my parents, because I didn't care. It didn't mean anything. And I want you to understand that in the generation, the time that we live in right now, there's this very strong attitude among Christians that it doesn't really matter much what we do. And in fact, it's just this great deception that I think has a lot to do with people's attitude about grace. Now, this is Grace Church. We believe in grace. I mean, apart from the grace of God, none of us has a hope. Amen. It's by grace we're saved through faith. But somehow or another, that's translated over into, you know, it doesn't really matter because it's all good, it's all under grace, so it don't matter what we do. You need to understand, yes, our sins are taken care of by the grace of God, but He rewards us according to what we do. A lot of people don't seem to get that, but I would tell you, you get a hold of this truth tonight and it will absolutely change your life. The scripture makes it clear that God will reward us. You find it beginning in Genesis chapter 15, and then you find it all through the Bible to the very last chapter of the Bible in Revelation 22, when Jesus says that He is returning and His reward is with Him to give to everyone according to what they have done. Now, how many people believe the Word of God? Jesus is coming, Revelation 22, when He comes back, He's coming to give to everyone according to what they have done. You can't take that out of the Bible. You can't wipe it out saying grace, grace, grace. When we get to heaven, listen, it's not going to be like, well, everybody's going to get the same. No, they're not. Everybody's going to be rewarded according to what they've done in this life. I'm not challenging anybody's salvation, but I'm telling you, it makes a difference what you do and you don't do. Our God, He is the judge of all the earth. That's what the Bible says. He is the just judge, and He is always watching, and He holds us accountable for what we do and what we don't do. I mean, it's amazing how people have used grace to act like it doesn't matter what we do. But there are rewards that are coming, and there are going to be some who make heaven but have no reward. Well, you're going to see it in the scripture tonight. We're going to get to it in just a little while, but we're going to start with Abram, actually, whose name was later changed to Abraham. He believed God. He obeyed God. He became known as the friend of God. Now, in Genesis 14, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, along with Abraham's nephew Lot, were all kidnapped. And Abraham gets all of his men together, and he goes after them, and he rescues them. Then the king of Sodom, he wants to give Abraham a reward. That sounds good. Most people would just say, great, let me have it. Abraham said no. He would not accept a reward from him. He did not want any man to get any glory. He wanted God to get all of the glory. He was looking to God as his rewarder, not to man. And he refused the reward of man. Then this is what happened in the next chapter, Genesis 15, verses 1 through 5, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one will come from your own body, who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven, count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. You talk about a reward, not just an heir. Abraham was asking for an heir. Not just an heir. He said, your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky. That's a reward. I want to tell you, this reward was so much greater than a monetary reward. It was so much more than money. You see, God knows what will really fulfill you, what will really satisfy you. He knows what you really need, and he rewards. Don't look to man for your rewards. No, instead we look to God. His rewards are so much better than the rewards of men. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Now, most people get that part. I mean, there's a whole lot of people. Most people in America, the vast majority of people in America believe that he is. But here's what a lot of people don't believe. And I hope that we get it right tonight. But you also got to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This is part of his character. This is part of who he is. He rewards those who diligently seek him. You're going to see this over and over and over. This is not just an isolated verse here and there. This is all through the scripture that God is a rewarder. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. You see, if we don't believe, not just that he is, but believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, if we don't believe that, it will hinder our relationship with God. It will hinder our prayer life. It will hinder our obedience to God. It'll hinder our walk with God. And you end up looking to other people and other things for your reward. You end up distracted from the Lord. And there'll be times that you just don't really fully obey because you don't think it matters. You got to believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And if we believe that, we will seek him so much more. But if we doubt it, see, if we believe he rewards those who diligently seek him, we'll seek him with passion and determination. See, to seek him diligently, it means to seek him daily. It means to seek him consistently. It means to seek him persistently. We just don't stop. We do it fervently. But so many people who would like to maybe be closer to God, experience the Lord in their life, but they want it on a casual basis. They want it when it's convenient for them. In fact, I think in the church world today, it's all about convenience. It's, you know. Preachers always do this to the people that are there, but you look around you and you see a whole bunch of empty black chairs. Did you know there's about 1,000 people that think Grace Church is their home church? No joke. But it wasn't convenient. We got to diligently seek him. Because I want to tell you the truth tonight. He does not reward lukewarmness. He'll spit them out of his mouth, but he doesn't reward them, amen? He doesn't reward a half-hearted effort. He doesn't reward casual Christianity. He rewards those who diligently seek him. He rewards those who are passionate, those that are determined, those that persist. They just seek the Lord. You see, we get a hold of this. Do you believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him? If you believe it, you'll do it. The reason people don't do it more is because they don't believe that's who he is. But he says this is who he is. And we diligently seek him. Not the rewards. We're seeking the rewarder. See, we're not just seeking a blessing. We're seeking the blesser. When we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he just takes care of everything else. But if there was ever anything that we put our all into, it ought to be seeking the Lord. I mean, if we're going to be passionate about anything, determined about anything, it ought to be about seeking the Lord. Psalm 63 and 1, the psalmist says, "O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." I want to tell you, he ought to be the first thing that we think about, the first thing that we seek in the morning, because everything else will leave you empty and dry. He's the only one that can truly fully satisfy. To seek him diligently, it means to seek him with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." It won't happen half-heartedly. There's a whole lot of people seeking the Lord just kind of, sort of. They'll never find him. You got to come with your whole heart. You seek him with all your heart. It's amazing. God always knows the heart. Here's what's really crazy is in this world we live in, people got it all twisted up. Somebody does some bad thing and people say, "Oh, but they have a good heart." No, they don't. Jesus says that bad thing they did, he says it came out of their heart. That's what's in their heart. But if we're going to really come into a close relationship with God, it's going to be because we seek him with all our heart. "You will seek me, search for me, and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You know, we just need to remember, God is faithful. He always keeps his word. Because here's the thing. There are times when it seems like it doesn't make any difference. I mean, you're serving God. You're living for God. You're doing what God wants you to do, obeying God. You're praying. You're seeking. You're worshiping God. And it seems like it's not really having an impact. It's not really making a difference. You're not seeing a reward. That's when you believe. You walk by faith, not by sight. And I want to tell you, it's the same for many of the great men and women of Scripture. But as they persevered, they saw miracles. They saw the faithfulness of God. And like Abraham and Sarah, sometimes it was decades before they saw the fulfillment of those promises and they saw those rewards. But God is faithful. I want you to know that Jesus talked a lot about how the Father rewards us. In Matthew chapter 6, he says that we're not to do our giving before men. It makes me sick when preachers and churches do this kind of thing where if you give a certain amount, well, your name will be listed as one of this group of people. Sickening. If you know what the Bible says, Jesus says you don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. But get this. But he says when you give in secret, when you did it not for recognition from men. You see, he says if you do it for approval from men, you already have your reward. That's your reward, the approval of men. You already have your reward. But when you did it in secret, he says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now get this, yes, it has to be the right motive. You're not doing it just for the stuff, and you're certainly not doing it for the approval of men, but God will reward you openly. In other words, you did it in secret, but it's not going to be a secret when He rewards you. And you see, other people didn't see why. They just saw that God rewarded you. And sometimes people will hate you for it. They'll resent you for it. They get mad at God. Well, that's not fair, God. He sees in secret and He rewards openly. Then Jesus says the same thing about prayer. We don't pray for show. We're not praying for other people to know about it, to look good in the eyes of men. And don't, listen, don't get silly about this. There's a time and a place with the right heart and the right motive when you're supposed to tell people that you prayed for them. The Apostle Paul did it, and we need to do that. It's an encouragement to our brothers and sisters. And there's nothing wrong with having a public prayer meeting. See, people get all goofy about this stuff. It's the attitude and the motive of the heart. But Jesus said that when the Father sees us praying in secret, He rewards us openly. Then He says the same thing about fasting. You know why people don't fast? Well, it's no fun. But let me tell you what will make people fast. If they believe that God's going to reward. And Jesus says that when we do it not for show, not to look good in the eyes of men, but we do it in secret, our Father who sees in secret will reward us openly. All right there in Matthew chapter 6. Over and over, Jesus says, the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. All of those things have to be done sincerely. Not seeking the approval of men. Not for pride or self-glory. They're to be done with pure motives. To seek God and to bless others. But I want you to hear this one more time. Your Father will reward you openly. In Matthew 16, 27, Jesus said, the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each one or each according to his works. I just want to get that in there again. You need to hear this. You need to understand it, that there is a reward that is coming. You also need to understand what a reward is and what it isn't. A reward is not a debt paid to you. God does not owe us anything. You can't earn anything from God. You will forever be in His debt. There's no way that He can owe you. And some people in their foolish human pride think that somehow they deserve better, that God owes them. Pharisees, He can never be in your debt. He paid your debt, a debt you owed that you could never pay. So we need to understand that a reward is not something that we earn from God. It is a prize that is given to us. Before David killed Goliath, he made a point of asking, what would be done for the man who kills the giant? Well, the reward was to be they got to marry the king's daughter. Now, if you know the scripture, if you've read the story, you know that that turned out to not be such a great reward. That was the reward of man. And in fact, it turned into quite a curse in David's life. The reward of man. Take note of that. You don't want the reward of man. You want God's reward. But you know, many, many times in David's life, God did reward him and bless him. And we see that over and over, how the Lord was faithful to him and rewarded him. But when God rewards us openly, I'm telling you, other people see it. They don't know why. God knows, and he rewards. Luke 6:35. I give you a lot of these because I think people, you know, whenever there's a stronghold of an attitude that has to be torn down, the Word of God has the power in it to do that. And you need to see how much the Scripture, how much Jesus himself talked about this. Luke 6:35, love your enemies. Anybody ever heard that? Oh yeah, we know that one. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. In other words, you're not hoping for a reward. You're not hoping for, you know, hey, you did good to them, so they're going to do good to you. That's the world's way. We don't think that way. We're not looking for a payback. Hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. In the same verse where it says, love your enemies, how is it that we miss this? Your reward will be great. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't find it easy to love my enemies. I don't feel like it. It is never convenient. But here's the thing. I do it because my Savior said for me to. Because my Lord commands me to. And you know what? We can do it with a smile on our face because He will give us a great reward. Did I read that right? Your reward will be great. Great. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Wow. Jesus, He talked about rewards a lot. Matthew 10:41-42. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Reward, reward, reward. Talking about giving a cup of water to a little one. I want to tell you, our children's workers do a whole lot more than that. A whole lot more than that. They have a great reward. They don't do it for our thanks, but we ought to thank them all the time. Amen? But here's the thing. They got a great reward coming. People think, oh, you know, that's just kiddie stuff. People have a wrong attitude about children and youth ministries. We don't at this church. It's not babysitting. I want to tell you something. They're not just entertaining the teenagers in there. I was a youth pastor for over 15 years, and I saw so many changed lives, radically changed, saved from being a drug addict, saved from being an alcoholic, having a messed up life. And I'm just telling you, it's real. And those people, they have a great reward. Yeah, we need to know that. We need to understand that. See, it's us, it's big church. Oh, pastor, you know, he gets all the glory because he's the big shot. No, 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 no. I'm telling you, in the eyes of God, it's those that are serving, handing that child that cup. Amen. They're going to get a great reward. And you see, we need to get it right in our heart, in our mind, in the way we think, because it affects how we live and the things we do and our prayer life and everything else. He rewards. He rewards what we do for Him, our service for the Lord. None of it is lost. Paul talked about rewards. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The lost all go to the great white throne judgment. But the church, the body of Christ, all comes to the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. He will be judged for reward. Sins under the blood of Jesus, but will be judged for reward according to what we have done. Some will receive crowns. I want a crown. Amen. I want to tell you why. Because I read in the book of Revelation where they throw their crowns at the feet of Jesus. I want a crown to throw at my Savior's feet. I don't want to be empty-handed on that day. I tell you, he rewards. Here's a sad truth. Yes, he forgives us. But sin has an effect on your reward, because so often it undermines what we would do for God. Time when we sinned, whether it was a sin that we acted out or a sin of omission, something we should have done and we didn't. It's lost time. It's lost opportunity that you can't get back, even though God forgives us. I want you to hear this or read this with me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to read 6 all the way through 15. It's just really powerful, and you need to see this, especially if you've never read this passage. You need to see it. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. We plant and we water, but we're not anything. It's God that does the miracle. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Each one receives according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, when it says for the day, it's talking about the day of judgment. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Through fire. See, we need to understand this. There are going to be a lot of people who go through the fire. They're going to be saved, yes, but no reward. And it's not even just what we did, but even the motives why we did what we did is going to be judged. What's going to be left? Just what we did for Jesus. When this life is past, only what's done for Christ will last. That's right. Some will have great rewards, and some will just make it in with no reward. And somebody will say, but that's not fair. We should all get a trophy. No, God is always just. He always does what is right. And you may not see it in this world, but we will all see it on that day. We're going to go to the book of Ruth. Ruth was a poor widow with no children. She didn't have anything or anybody except for her mother-in-law. Just to have food to eat, Ruth would glean the fields. She would go to the fields after the reapers had already been in the field, and she would pick up whatever grain happened to be left over. And that was how she and her mother-in-law survived. She has nothing, and she's nobody. But a man named Boaz noticed her and what she did for her mother-in-law. I want to read Ruth chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Boaz saw what Ruth had done. I want you to know the Lord saw what Ruth had done. He always sees, and he always rewards. Boaz spoke it. The Lord reward you. The Lord, a full reward, he said, be given you by the Lord. This was a reward that came to her because of her selfless love and care for somebody else. You know, sometimes when you are taking care of others, it just seems like an endless, thankless job. God sees every bit of it. That's right. Every bit of it. Amen. And he says there's a full reward. And it's not all in the hereafter, by the way. Eventually, Boaz married Ruth, and guess what? She wasn't poor anymore. Here's part of the story you need to know, though. They had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse. Jesse had a son named David. That's right. Ruth's great-grandson was King David. And she's part of the lineage of Jesus. What a reward. And she's not a nobody anymore. Her name's in the Bible. In fact, there's a book of the Bible named after her. She's a somebody. She wasn't even a Jew. And look what God did. Amazing. Whatever we do, we got to always try to obey the word of the Lord if we want to find reward. Psalm 19, 7 through 11, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward." When we keep the word of God, there is great reward. I believe what the scripture says, that if we keep the word of God, there is great reward. Parents, I want to ask you a question. Help me out here. When you're dealing with your children, how many of you like to reward bad behavior? I'm so glad that I didn't see any hands. If you did raise your hand, put it down. I mean, how many of you reward your children for doing something you told them not to do? I mean, if my mom would have operated that way, I would have been rich, because I can't tell you how many times she told me to clean my room and I didn't do it. But she never one time rewarded me for not cleaning my room. Can you believe that? Why do people think that God will reward their disobedience or their lack of obedience when he tells them to do something. He's not going to reward that. He's not going to reinforce bad behavior. Now, some parents, if we'll just be real about it, some parents do. You've all seen it. Kids begging, squawking, squalling, wanting a candy bar in the store. And what does mom do? Okay, here's a candy bar. You know, reward bad behavior. And I know it's a simple, silly illustration. But our Father doesn't reward disobedience. He rewards obedience. When we do what He wants us to do, we obey His word. And when He rewards, it is above what we ask for. Abraham refused to be rewarded by men, and God gave him descendants like the stars in the sky. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked forward to a reward. He turned down all of the wealth and the riches and the fame of this world. Who would do such a thing? A man who's looking to God for his reward. You see, I'm telling you, we get a hold of this, that God is a rewarder. It'll change you. Change your attitude about life. Change your attitude about work. Change your attitude about prayer. Don't look to men for your reward. They will disappoint you. Colossians 3, 23 through 25. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward. You'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. There is no partiality. Oh man, in this world, all there is partiality. Favor for this one, special treatment for that one. These people, I mean, isn't it amazing how the courts are different for different people? I want to tell you, there's one who sees and he knows all. And when it's over, the judge of all the earth will make it right. There's no partiality with him. This passage of scripture where he's talking about whatever you do, do heartily is unto the Lord. You know, this was actually written to slaves. But, you know, when I was young and dumb, and 15, started working at the grocery store, I actually believed that if you worked really, really hard, you would be rewarded. And I just want you to know that didn't always the case. I worked so hard, just brag just a little bit, but this is just to make a point. One day, a district manager came into our store. He told my manager, and the manager told me, he said, I've never seen anybody work that hard before. I just worked like a dog, fast as I could possibly go. Pushed the carts out, unloaded groceries, ran 100% of the time. I ran back to the store with the cart. We weren't allowed to watch people take their groceries out. We had to do it for them. But anyway, you know, back in before they had phones and stuff. Anyway. Here's the thing. I wasn't rewarded for that. I'm just telling you, men will disappoint you. God won't. But you see, we don't work for the rewards of men. Whatever we do, he says, doesn't matter what you're doing, whether it's at work or you're serving at church or you're out in the community, do it, whatever you're doing, you do it as unto the Lord. You do it with all your heart because he's the one that's going to reward you. Amen. See, I'm telling you, this message, it'll change you. It'll change your work ethic because you're not working for man anymore. You're working for God. Amen. This old world isn't always fair. They'll disappoint you, but God, he will not let you down. You may not see how your prayers are making a difference, but one day you will. One day you will. Be diligent. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop serving. Don't stop working for God. Don't stop loving, walking in forgiveness. Don't stop doing good to others. He's watching and He will reward you. I got to tell you this story. There was many years ago, there was an old missionary and his wife that had been on the field in Africa for decades, and they're retiring, they're coming home on a ship, and they just happened to be on a ship with President Teddy Roosevelt. He was coming back from a hunting expedition, and when they got back, there was so much fanfare and big to-do, you know, bands, parades, and everything for the president. And there was not even a soul there to meet them. And they got off the boat and they found a room to stay in. They hoped to find work there in New York. But that night, the husband, he just broke. He said to his wife, he says, "It's not fair. It's just not fair. All that to-do over him coming back from a hunting trip, and here we've given our lives and served and done all of this for so long, and nobody cares. It's just not fair." She told him, she said, "You need to go talk to the Lord about it." He went in the bedroom and prayed for a little while. A little while, he came back with a different countenance. He said, "Me and the Lord got things worked out." He said, "It was like the Lord put His hand on my shoulder." He said, "You're not home yet." I want to tell you, that man, he's looking forward to a great reward someday. And you just need to realize, sometimes we see rewards in this life. He rewards us openly. But ultimately, we're looking forward to that day when God will settle the accounts. He will make it right in the end. Revelation 22:12, "And behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Realize that Jesus says this in the last chapter, the very end of the book. "I'm coming. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." And I want to tell you, I hope I'm not done yet. I want to do more. Because I believe he's bringing his reward with him. Abraham said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" He did. He does. And he will. God settles the score. He reconciles the accounts. And he will reward. Again, it's not payment. Oh no, it's much better than that. It's reward. He's going to bless you. Amen. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Stand with me. We're going to pray, and I'm going to let you go.